Between the rock and the hard place is a set of islands known as Greece. From APM in Los Angeles today, I'm David Brancaccio. The finance minister of debt-burdened Greece is in Washington today for a round of meetings that includes some FaceTime with President Obama. Yanis Varoufakis has new trouble today after a downgrade for his country's debt. BBC business correspondent Jonty Bloom is following this from London. Good morning.
Morning, David.
So we're seeing a downgrade of Greek debt by the ratings agency S&P. What is adding to the perception that Greece is a worse bet today?
Well, you might have thought it would be rather difficult to downgrade Greek debt any further, but they seem to have managed. It's gone from B- to CCC+, really moving deeper into junk status. And the reason for that is really that Germany's finance minister has basically said he doesn't think there's going to be an agreement later this month on the reform packages in Greece, and that means Greece won't be able to get its hands on the money that the rest of the Eurozone is supposed to be providing to the Greek government to help it meet its debt obligations. And that raises the very real prospect of Greece having to default on its debts.
I'll tell you, Jonty, here we are in the spring of 2015, and this notion that Greece might someday have to leave the Eurozone is, frankly, less abstract. It's not such a theoretical concept. It could happen.
Yeah, it could happen. I mean, I'm rather skeptical because so many of these deadlines have been kicked further into the grass, and there always seems to be a bit of money found just to keep things going. But you do get the feeling things are coming to a head. There's even been an advisor to the Greek premier signalling that Athens might want to call a referendum on this. Do you want to keep paying your debts, or do you want to be lent money and not have to repay it? It's rather difficult to see what they'd ask. But you do get this sense that although people are trying to play for time, there are doesn't really seem to be much room for compromise anymore.
And some would say the Greeks had a referendum on this in January. They elected a new left-wing government set on figuring out how to ease austerity.
Yes, they did. And it's very true. And that's what the government has been trying to do. But it's come up against this complete brick wall, which is it's okay to say you're anti-austerity if you've got the money to pay your bills. But they don't have the money to pay their bills. They need to borrow it from other people. And those people are telling them what policies it wants the Athens government to follow.
The BBC's Jonty Bloom in London. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure.
Here's a question now. Who owns America? Typically, you hear the answer China, which owns so much of U.S. government debt. But there's word today that Japan has overtaken China as the number one foreign holder of U.S. treasuries, Japanese pension funds, Japanese government, other Japanese investors, with U.S. yields going up in anticipation of Federal Reserve rate hikes perhaps later this year. U.S. debt is looking quite attractive these days. The biggest holder of U.S. debt overall, American investors. Now let's do the numbers. The Nikkei index in Japan was up slightly by less than a 0.1%. The key stock index in Shanghai up 3% today, but that index has been making sharp moves like that in recent months. In London, the 100-share index is up 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 0.2% range. The U.S. dollar is down. The European single currency is up. A euro costs just under $1.07 this morning. Biking to work is cool, and it doesn't burn fossil fuel unless you ate fossil fuel for breakfast. But we should remember that many people have to bike to work if they can't afford the car, the insurance, the parking. A new program in Savannah, Georgia, is helping people in this group get the bikes that they need. Emily Jones of Georgia Public Broadcasting did a ride-along.
Mohammed Wasik works at one of the hotels on Savannah's downtown riverfront.
Do you know what you call that, Rose? I go that one and straight to the waiting street.
His job is just shy of a mile and a half from his apartment. An easy bike ride, especially without my sluggish single-speed bike holding him up.
How long does it usually take?
This one is a little bit slow, but mine is take like 8-9 minutes.
Before he got the bike, he had to take the bus, and that was a different story.
First 10 days, I was late sometimes, sometimes early, because I couldn't wait for the bus, so I was just walking from here.
Wasik's bike came from the Savannah Bicycle Campaign's recycling program. The group takes donations of used bikes and parts. Then volunteers refurbish them and outfit them with accessories the users might need, like racks for groceries. A refugee placement organization called Lutheran Services of Georgia connects the bike campaign with people who need the help. Each user gets a helmet, a lock, and a light. Lauren Cruikshank works with the refugees.
The fact that they can get a bicycle for free means that they're not spending money on the bicycle and also means maybe they don't have to spend money on a bus ticket each time they're going to their ESL class or each time they're going to the grocery store.
The program also offers a mobile repair trailer and helps people learn about bike maintenance. Manager Jen Kohlstock says that's also key when every penny counts.
And especially if you're somebody who bikes by necessity and wouldn't necessarily be able to afford that repair at a bike shop, but might have access to tools to fix it, you know, that's another $10, $20, $30 that you've saved then.
A spokesperson for the League of American Bicyclists says recycling programs like this one have been around for a while, and they've seen a rise around the country as biking has gotten more popular. They have a lot of different goals, from increasing economic freedom to helping the environment. In Savannah, Georgia, I'm Emily Jones for Marketplace.
And former Federal Reserve Chairman and most powerful person in the financial world, Ben Bernanke, has reportedly landed on his feet. The New York Times says Bernanke's new job is at a big hedge fund called Citadel Investment. Bernanke will serve as an advisor to the fund's investment committees and will head up international meetings. When asked about his choice of a $25 billion hedge fund in a world where revolving door politics is commonplace, Bernanke told the Times his decision was made in part because Citadel, quote, is not regulated by the Federal Reserve and that he won't be doing lobbying of any sort. The former Fed chairman will stay on as a fellow at the Brookings Institution. From Los Angeles today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.